Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. This morning is going to be a little different in that I'm going to read a passage out of Hebrews 10, and we're going to do more or less a topical look at three things that he says. Verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The writer says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." If you have driven to Asheville via 441 Highway 23, you got to witness the result of something being built on an insufficient foundation. There are several areas of road work because the road is collapsing due to not being built on that which is solid. The foundation was not solid. During our years in South Carolina, I heard countless advertisements for companies that specialized in foundation repair for buildings. Countless advertisements. And so to fix the foundation, the companies would put something of a pillar down through the sand to that which is solid. This morning, what is your life being built on? As you think about everything going on in your world, everything that you're dealing with, what are you building your life on? Is it built on that which is solid and strong, or that which is shifting and weak? We're going to see what the Bible says about the three pillars of life: faith, hope, and love. The first pillar of life is faith. He said there in the passage, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." In general, faith implies such a knowledge of, assent to, and confidence in certain divine truths, especially those of the gospel, that the result is changed behavior. To simply have a knowledge of or assent to a position or a truth without change of behavior is an empty or false faith. It's not a saving faith. It's kind of like us saying that we believe that it's going to snow up north. Not going to do anything here, is it? It's not going to affect me. And that's kind of what he's dealing with, this idea that just because you assent to it doesn't mean that you are involved in it. Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You have been saved by grace through faith. The way I've always thought about that is grace is what's going to save us, that God is going to pour out what we need but that we don't deserve. And the way we get in on that, or the way we are saved, is when we say, "Jesus, would you save me, please?" When we ask him to. And so that's where this idea of faith, of the being more than just mental assent, but it's a confidence in certain divine truths. He goes on in verse 10 of Ephesians 2 to also mention the changed behavior that comes as the result of, not the cause of, having this solid relationship with Christ. In Romans 10, Paul expresses that his concern for people centers on their salvation. In verse 9, he expands what it means to have faith in Jesus this way: that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is in this, what is involved in this, both the confession of sin, but it's also repentance. It's a turning away from thinking that you have the answers. It's a turning away from the thinking that you have the authority to decide right and wrong. As one commentator said, it means that Jesus' authority is being absolute, unlimited, and universal. So those who come to Christ by faith are acknowledging that they have placed themselves entirely and without reserve under his authority to carry out, without hesitation, whatever he may choose for them to do. Did you ever think when you were 15, 18, 20 years old, this is what I'm going to do with my life? Man, whatever I thought back then, it's completely different today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it's that trusting in him. And let me just say this to you. There is no salvation apart from lordship. Because until you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to obey you, you don't love him. And that's what Paul and the writer of Hebrews is talking about here, that the first pillar of life is faith. Maybe you've heard this story. Legend has it that a man was lost in the desert and about to die due to dehydration. He stumbled upon an old shack, and off to the side of it was a water pump. He went over to the pump and began pumping with all the energy he had left, and nothing came out. Looking around in the shade of a little bush was a jug with this message written on it. You have to prime the pump with all the water in this jug, and P.S., fill up the jug before you leave. He popped the top off, and sure enough, it was nearly full of water. And he thought for a moment, do I believe that person who wrote this note? Or am I going to drink the water? He knew that if he drank the water, he could live, but if he poured it down the pump, maybe it would yield cool, fresh water, all the water he wanted. So what was he going to do? He decided to pour what he had down the pump. He grabbed the handle and began pumping. Nothing at first, then a small trickle, and finally it gushed. All the water he wanted. He filled the jug back up and added this little note. Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away before you can get anything back. Do you have that kind of faith in Jesus? Do you have that kind of faith in Jesus? That you're going to let him decide right and wrong? That you're going to let him lead you in life? Are you living a life that displays obedience to Christ? Or is it to culture? You stop and think about that. We are being inundated today by so much on what we partake of, whether that be through the radio or through the television, that is counter against what God says. Have you watched any kind of a situational show in the last month that did not have an LGBTQ XYZ character? And you think, well, what's the problem with that? Remember how things were back when you were a kid, when I was a kid? Now, you got to remember that I grew up in a city that had one of the last segregated public places in America. And remember in the late 60s into the early 70s how they started introducing African-American characters into television shows? And now today, what is it? But that's what our culture does. So are you living a life that's in obedience to Christ or to culture? Are you living by faith in Jesus? When you stand before God and he asks you why he should let you into his heaven, what are you going to say? Please? I've been a pretty good person. Look at all the good things that I've done. Or are you going to say, I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord? If you have, are you still living by faith? So what are you building your life on? The second pillar of life is hope. Hope is the desire of some good with the expectation of obtaining it. It is trust, confidence in someone. The question is, in what or whom do you trust and have confidence? In Colossians, Paul wrote to them about the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope comes from a personal relationship with Christ that is built on faith. In Romans 5, Paul begins with the truth that we are justified by faith, that first pillar. Then your faith and hope are in God. And because of this, we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Paul then begins describing a process, something of a process in life. Starting with the tribulations that we all face, but those tribulations, Paul said, produces perseverance. Then character, ending in hope. And he reminds us that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When I was a kid growing up, if we went on vacation, it was always to the lake. I know you've heard this part of this story. We went most of the time to Lake Texoma. Lake Texoma is kind of a small lake. It's only about 140 square miles in size. Macon County, I don't even know if Macon County is that big, to be honest with you. It was huge. There's a lot of that lake I was never on. It was easy to find a beach to swim on and play on. But we spent about as much time swimming out in what we called the big water. We would just, one of us would be skiing and we'd, you know, fall off and be wore out and everybody'd jump out of the boat. Now, all of us could swim, but you know what we had this apparatus on? It was called a life jacket. Because while we could swim, that wasn't what we were depending on, trusting in to keep us alive, afloat. It was the life jacket. The hope that the jacket would float. This morning, do you have hope? You say, you don't know what's going on in my life. Yeah, it's going on in mine too. Do you have hope? If so, in what or whom are you putting your trust? You say, well, are we talking about that everything's going to go exactly the way I want it? No, because we still live in a sinful, fallen world and our bodies are affected that way. But do you have hope because Jesus is who he says he is, that he is God in the flesh? Do you have hope because you have placed your trust, your faith in him? Do you have hope because of the resurrection power of Jesus we just remembered and celebrated last week? His resurrection lasts for a whole year. We don't have to wait till Easter next year to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ overcame sin, death, and the grave. Do you have the hope of Jesus that he gives when everything that you think can go wrong does go wrong? What are you building your life on? The third pillar of life is love. Love is benevolent love. Its benevolence, however, is not shown by doing what the person loved desires, but what the one who loved deems as needed by the one loved. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In that, God gave us not what we wanted, not what man wanted, but what man needed. Love is wanting and doing what is best for the other person. Remember how Paul described love in 1 Corinthians 13? He described love not as an emotion, but as a choice. It's a matter of the will. It's wanting and doing what is the best for the other. So this morning, choose to love. The writer of Hebrews was talking about that, and I'm going to deal with more with that in the coming weeks. But it's the choice we make. I read this the other day, this bit of wisdom. You can raise your kids and spoil your grandchildren, or spoil your kids and raise your grandchildren. The point of the person is obvious. Do what is best for the child, not what they want. Love them. Who is it in your life that to love them truly is a choice? It's not a result of emotion. There's somebody I know. So love them. Choose what is best for them. Do what is best for them. And the emotion then will follow. Often the person being loved lacks perspective. The wisdom to understand when someone is truly loving them as opposed to placating them for the moment. So you need to choose what you know to be the best for the other person and love them. What are you building your life on today? Are you building your life on faith in Jesus Christ? Faith, hope, and love. Are you building your life on those three? There may be a question in your mind about this idea of faith in Christ, and if so, Jack or Blake or I would love to talk with you. In just a moment, you're going to respond, and you have to respond to this message to say, Lord, I'm going to build my life on these three pillars, or I'm going to go my own way. What are you going to choose to do? Faith, hope, and love.